A.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, some say we beg for money. We never want to beg for money. In fact, we put our money where our mouth is. We've been in the radio for 25 years. I literally started out by selling my house and buying a radio station. We're not asking you to do anything we haven't done or aren't willing to do on a continual basis. However, if you believe our news, the stories we bring to the table that the mainstream press won't talk about, or the fresh focus or unique take on stories that we bring to the table, the guests, the roundtable, the whole bit, through libertyroundtable.com, that's our talk show, and libertynewsradio.com, that's the radio network that we own with incredible award-winning talk shows around the clock. If you believe our efforts are worthy, then fund us, support us, because look, we can't have advertisers. They drop you like a rock. They don't have, or they want you to have these tremendous returns that are just not sustainable. You say, well, Sam, how do the bigger networks do it? Are they getting the returns? No, they're not getting the returns either. They're charging a lot more money, and they're spending a lot more money, and they're, you know, it's kind of equivalent. You know what? We might get you meager results for meager dollars, and they'll get you huge results for huge dollars. At the end of the day, are you better off? No, they've just found folks that believe in their cause. They've just found folks that love to focus on their agenda. And we need to find good, honest people that believe in our cause, and the best way we've found to do it is good, honest private donations from good Americans like you. We're not begging for your money, but if we have a worthy cause, if we have a valid service that we're providing, then fund it, support it, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. We make that promise to you. This is the Widow's Mite Radio Network, and we're grateful for those who have absolutely put their money where their mouth is. And certainly we need more of them, but we want to make sure we recognize and express our appreciation and gratitude to those who have done so, and many of them in a big way, by the way. All right, Kurt, you with me? Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Looks like Ammon Bundy's lawyer's in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, I thought this was kind of interesting because, the way I remember this, there was some beating up going on in the courthouse after, the trial was over up in Oregon. And yet now they say he's, agreed to, let's see, here's the headline from KansasCity.com in their entertainment section. Now, this is an AP piece. It's just that I think very few people are going to pick it up. Stephen DuBois is the author, but it says, Bundy lawyer from Oregon trial agrees not to practice in state. And so then what you get as you go down in the story, it says, after the surprising verdict, this is when this lawyer who, by the way, has a speech impediment, he stutters a little bit, but a lot of people say he's just, a hard-nosed guy, and he doesn't just take pleas. He fights for his, I shouldn't say fight, maybe, for his candidate, or for his, people he's working for, the ones he's representing. But anyway, they say after the surprising verdict where his guys got off, it says U.S. Marshals tackled Mumford and shocked, that's the attorney, by the way, and shocked him with a stun gun as he argued with the judge over whether Bundy should continue to be detained.
Clearly the attorney Marcus Mumford was right. The jury said not guilty, and the other charges turned out to be nothing but a fraud on the part of the government. So now Marcus Mumford should come back and sue the socks off of these people, sir.
Well, that's what I was thinking. They say now he's, after they shocked him with the stun gun and stuff, now he's, agreed, I guess, to not do any of these trials. I'm kind of thinking, I guess the feds don't really want to deal with him anymore. But at least that would be my situation. I guess they say he faces a bar complaint. I'd suggest you stay out of bars. But anyway, faces a bar complaint in his home state of Utah. A formal finding, they say, against him in Oregon might have worked against him in Utah, so he voluntarily agreed to abstain from practicing in a state in which he rarely has a case. That's what Matthew Schindler, I guess he's not the guy from Schindler's List, a lawyer who defended one of Bundy's co-defendants has vigorously supported, Mumford said. He said, I don't believe that Marcus did anything wrong during the course of the trial that I participated in, but I think that under the circumstances, there's no question this was the right decision to make. It sounds almost like those other guys, like Pete Santilli, when he said, hey, man, I guess I'm going to have to take this because I don't want to be in jail forever, right, Sam?
That's what Pete Santilli said, but now I think Pete Santilli needs to go back with an attorney and revisit this and say, look, I made a deal based on fraudulent information perpetuated by the belligerent, out-of-control, criminalistic elements in government, and I don't want to go along those lines anymore. I want to have a reality check of all these other guys are not guilty. All these other guys had exculpatory evidence or whatever you want to call it, taken from the trial or denied. And hey, I'm not doing that. All bets are off here. And I don't know how that would be done through an attorney, but I'm telling you, that's what I think that Pete Santilli needs to do. Yep. And many of these other guys that cop, quote, bogus pleas, right?
I agree. The AP piece way down in the story says Bundy retained Mumford less than 4 months before the trial. Mumford quickly made an impression with his combative style and speech impediment, a stutter. He and U.S. District Judge Anna Brown clashed throughout the weeks-long trial. Yeah, you know, if one guy's telling the truth and the other person's a liar, there's going to be clashes. And the tension came to explosive end after the verdicts were read. Then the final paragraph gives you a lot of good info, I think. It says, Schindler, this guy that kind of worked with him and did some other attorney work for some of the other guys, he says, what we need far more in our legal community are Marcus Mumfords. We got plenty of people that are nice and polite and are willing to come in and walk their clients into guilty pleas. To me, it's a privilege to be with somebody who is willing to give whatever it is they've got to give. Anyway, good stuff, I thought.
Amen to that. And the only thing is, I think Marcus needs to bust out and sue. And I really think we need to take the gloves off this because, again, these people lost 2 years of their lives. And, again, the government is involved in literal rogue agent criminal activity. And this has got to be stopped. And I'm telling you, it'll never stop unless there's accountability. The government will go, oh, well, here's what will happen. We'll put our political enemies in jail for a couple of years. We'll ruin their lives and everything. Bankrupt them financially. And, you know, in the end of the day, they'll slap our wrist and, they said we were bad guys. And other than that, no accountability. See, as long as that happens, it reminds me of the Microsoft cases back in the day, Kurt. And I don't mean to just always turn into computers for examples, but this is a great case.
Connected.
There's a lot of companies that Microsoft would partner with new technologies that Microsoft didn't have. And what would happen is Microsoft would partner with a small startup, make a deal, act like they were going to work with them on technology, then eventually cancel the contract, renege on 90% of the deal, but then keep the, quote, assets. And Digital Research was one of these key people. Stacker, another company, was one of these key people. These are two cases that I could just highlight because I remember them well. And they basically stole technology from both of them. Then what they did is they jettisoned the company, and then the company is so small they couldn't do much about it. Microsoft would go on and make literally billions of dollars off of the technology. Well, while the small company would get frustrated and try to sue, then the lawsuits would wind through the court super slowly and, literally run the small startups out of money. They struggled struggled and worked at it. Finally, in the end of the day, though, the startup would win, and they would win a chunk of change. But the bottom line is the chunk of change was so much smaller than the amount of money that Microsoft won, And the slap on the wrist was so small at the end of the day compared to what Microsoft had politically and financially gained from the transactions, to where Microsoft just had this pattern where they just do it over and over and over and over again. This is where the government's going to be on this stuff. Hey, attack a Patriot. Literally lie, cheat, steal. Let the Patriot struggle to get the truth out. Once the Patriot finally gets that done at the end, go, yeah, we were wrong, we're sorry, and we'll even pay you a couple of $1 million or whatever. And as long as the penalties are so small that there's really no accountability, nobody goes to prison, there's not a sea change in what's done, hey, the government will just find this pattern successful over and over and over and over to shut down dissenting speech, dissenting views, to shut down accountability and truth, etc. And this is what I'm seeing, and this is my biggest worry. I'm grateful that the Bundys won. But when you shut down a guy like Marcus Mumford, I'm telling you right now, see, the government's winning. Because they'll just come back and say, hey, pretty soon there won't be any lawyers to represent any of these ne'er-do-well patriots, right? I'm telling you, beware of this, folks. If you find our efforts worthy, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, donate today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, James Edwards was our guest yesterday, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We broke down a bunch of racial stories. Did you hear about the monkey shirt that was on H&M, their website? I guess it created an outcry on the internet. Did you see all this?
I didn't, but just before we go there, I was just find a little tidbit on the Mumford thing. It was interesting to me to really think about this, because in all my life, I don't remember an attorney ever getting tased or tackled.
Yeah, but it's okay if it's a white supremacist, extremist, militia member attorney, then that's okay, Kurt.
I guess, but this piece says, Mumford faced criminal charges. I mean, that should have been turned the other way around. But it says, after deputy marshals tackled him in the courtroom, tased him, and took him into custody. And what they typically do is they're going like, when they're grabbing you and stuff, they say, quit, what is it?
Resisting.
Quit resisting.
Yeah, heck
and
yeah.
He wasn't resisting anything. And then they say, prosecutors later dropped the criminal charges.
See, but that's how they do it. Here's the deal. If you're trying to advocate for the release of your client, and you're going to do it in a way that people can find out and report the truth, then they're going to flat out just take off the gloves, they're going to tackle you, they're going to tase you, they're going to arrest you, and then they're going to go, you know, we'll drop all these charges if you just mellow out. See, that's an example that I was talking about before the break, where it's like, hey, there's no repercussions here. They'll do it over and over and over and over again to get their way. They win in the end if we let them, Kurt.
That's right. And the other attorney that was working with him that knew him pretty well, Schindler, said it appears that not only federal prosecutors but federal judges were shocked and upset about the not guilty verdicts. Lashing out at Mumford, you know, the winning attorney, was a way of penalizing someone, he said.
See, so, and this is what I mean. So here's the question then. Whoever did that lashing out and called on the attack dogs, literal rogue agent thugs in the government that tackled this attorney and everything else, is there going to be accountability? Are people going to go to jail? Are people going to be criminally charged for this abuse? Or is it going to be, you know what, we shut up Marcus at the time, Mr. Mumford, it was great. Now Mumford's questioning the bar. Now Mumford's going to back out of representing people in these situations. And, hey, at the end of the day, there's no accountability and they win.
Yep. Good point.
See, these are battles that we need to really drill into. And I don't think anybody has brought this stuff up on the radio or in the news like we have, Kurt. Is there anybody?
Well, I don't listen to everybody, but
well, anybody that you see, we troll the net the best we can. Now, I'm not saying there's not an exception, but for the most part, nobody's talking about it. If there's an exception, hey, this is the roundtable. Let us know, ladies and gentlemen. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to support and promote those who are. We don't bring it up to say we know everything, and we don't bring it up to definitively say that's true. We bring it up to say we don't know of anybody. And if there is, please let us know. We'd love to work with them. But we scour the net pretty good. Now, if we had some money, we could have a bigger staff to really drill into it a lot harder. So I'd love to have Marcus Mumford on the radio and talk about this, but how do you get a hold of Marcus? The answer is you don't, or Sam Bushman drops his world, you know, uses every contact that he has, internally drills for hours and hours and hours and hours till I find pay dirt to find somebody that I can, you know, get to Marcus to talk to him, and then maybe he'll do the interview, maybe he won't. The problem is it just takes so much time that I don't have. Time is money. I you know, people are basically emailing me saying, Sam, don't blow me off. We got things to work on together, and I'm just writing back going, I'm not blowing you off. I just have 8 kids and a full-time 5 jobs and you know, 2 hours on the radio plus prep time. I mean, look, this radio program takes Sam about 4 hours a day to make happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I don't know how much time, you know, Kurt
and with all your TV watching and all that other stuff, all those
and
movies and everything that you got to do.
Me and Donald watching TV every day, all day. You know, and I do take a little break from my busy life to watch some chick flicks with my wife and some good family-oriented programming and stuff like that. We do that from time to time. But
out of the 168 hours a week, you know that there are 7 days times 24. You do rest some.
Yeah,
and
good
you do
point.
Eat. And
I take
I've
a break on the Sabbath.
Before. That's right.
I ate less than I used to, though. I'll tell you that right now.
But that's one thing that we would welcome our buddies, I don't care who they are, to jump in and help out. I mean, it may appear that we're not completely out there leading them all the time, but what we're really doing is, hey, trying to make ends meet ourselves.
Well, and when you say leading them, though, let's get very clear. There's a pro-life rally coming up pretty soon. I don't have the date right in front of me this second, but it's phenomenal. It's in January. And the Pro-Life Alliance and many other organizations are leading it. They've emailed me and said, Sam, we'd love you to help lead this fight. Uh-huh. Now, I'd love to reach out and say, I'm there. I'm in. We'll go to Washington. We'll broadcast live. We'll head up the rally like we did for the Bundy rally. We were the head of the Bundy peaceful rally to free the Hammonds.
Uh-huh.
Right? We'd love to do that, but I just don't have the money. If Sam and Kurt were to drop our day jobs, I don't know how much money we'd lose, but let's say it's a couple of $1,000 to be gone each. And then we'd have to pay to get there. It's going to probably cost us maybe $2,500 for us both to go to Washington. I mean, you got to get your flights. You got to fly to Washington. You got to somehow
find
a... We love
doing that. I mean, it's just so
I like it on occasion.
Yeah.
Now, but you
what's
fly
really
there.
Great is our wives love it when we lose them money and spend money to go do something.
Yeah, they love that. They're just thinking that's so common sense. They're like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And what they're really thinking is, guys, I get that you're giving up your time for free. That's plenty. But when you start to give up your time plus spending money, pretty soon they're not on board. And I think justifiably so. And so, you know, how much would it cost to do a trip like that? Well, I don't know. Let's say Sam and Kurt get a good deal on flights for $400 a round trip, which is hard. Usually it's 5 or 6 because we can't pick our dates perfectly, you know, or else we just have more longer hotel stays, right? gone from work even longer to get the good tickets. So just say $500 each. That's $1,000. Then you got to have transportation. You've either got to rent a car, or you got to have a bunch of Uber bills or train ride bills or whatever you do. You go there. Now, we got to broadcast live from this thing, so we got to bring equipment with us, which is going to be extra suitcases and all this kind of stuff. And then you got to set up. You got to work on arrangements for, you know, your hotels. How much is that going to cost? Well, in Washington, it's probably $200 a night for a hotel, especially during a big event time, right? You know, five nights in a hotel, just say that's another $1,000. Look, it's going to probably cost us $2,500 just to go, not to count lost wages and time. Literally, it's probably an over a $5,000 proposition for us to do it. Now, I'm not against doing it, but I'm telling you it ain't cheap. Now, you would say, well, Sam, look, you need to donate your time. I mean, you need to go get a real job. People have told me that too before. Sam, why don't you go get a real job? I have a real job. Thank you very much. I've had a real job this whole time. In fact, more than one. That doesn't change the fact that when I'm gone, it's a big expense. Now, right now, when we do the radio program, just to be very clear, I don't want to say I do everything. Kurt does plenty. And our guests and our roundtable, they do plenty. But look, if a call is going to get on the radio, I'm the one that takes the call and puts it on the radio. If a guest is on the radio, I'm the one that lines up the guests and then puts the guest on the radio. While I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm literally, you know, trolling the news. Much of the news I've gathered outside of showtime, but I'm still looking at news. I'm grabbing Kurt's stories. I'm paring down the news and putting headlines. I'm writing the show notes. I'm on the radio talking to you, interviewing guests, providing commentary. All the while, I'm the one that's running the board. So if the
and
music...
it makes me want to know what you do with all your spare time. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know me. So if the music gets faded up for a break, I'm the one that fades it up. If it gets faded down so we can start talking, right. I'm the one that gets Kurt on the air. If Kurt has a glitch, I'm the guy that has to make sure things are reset on the studio end to make sure that Kurt can connect if there's a glitch. If Kurt goes out of town, I got to switch to a new system and put him on a phone line for traveling as opposed to the in-studio gear that we have via the software that I created. Okay, and I'm not here trying to tell you that I'm important. What I'm telling you is there's a lot of things to be done. Now, the reason I tell you all that is because if I leave, right, to go to Washington for this pro-life rally, now I got to hire somebody to come in and be at the studio side because I'm not there either. See, I got to have somebody fade up and fade down the music and somebody connect me and Kurt to the studio and somebody tell us when we're on our breaks and make sure that our mics are muted so that we can plan the next segment and make sure that, you know, all these things happen. Somebody's got to do all that. And so I've got to pay literally, you know, I don't know how much you want to say, but $10-15 an hour to get somebody competent enough that's trained to come in and run the boards while I'm gone. So if we're gone, say, 5 days, that's 10 hours of radio. You know, that's probably $100-150 just to get somebody else to run the show while I'm gone. I can't be everywhere. I can't be at the pro-life rally hooking up gear for me and Kurt to go live and be on the air. See, well, I'm on the air oftentimes. Kurt's running around getting the next guest for us.
Well, so, I'm usually trying to eat or something like that, you know.
Well, you're actually trying to sometimes get me food. See, Kurt has to run around and do that too. And you know, we got to eat sometime. And so it takes more than one person to do all this stuff. It just, anyway, we're not trying to just beg for money or tell you that we're like starving and, you know, all the sky is falling or anything like that. What we are trying to do is give you a little bit of a behind the scenes reality check on what it really takes to make the things happen that we do. All right. That's what we're really trying to do. All right. It probably, you know, because, hey, I just cover the time on the air. What happens after the show? Somebody needs to upload the broadcast and take the show notes and finish the show notes and upload it all and make sure it's all available. That has to happen every day too. What happens if I'm out of town over a weekend? Now someone's got to do a bunch of weekend shows that I normally do for free. All right, hang tight, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Co-Certified app has prominent advertisements on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at co-certified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Co-Certified app will be your start. Download it now at co-certified.com. That's K-O-S-C-H-E-R-T-I-F-I-E-D.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, let me give you a little bit more behind the scenes. So Kurt emails me and he says, hey, man, there's this president's meeting with Congress, YouTube, and it's 54 minutes long.
And so I'm thinking, 40 seconds, I think it is. Oh, yeah, okay. 54 minutes and 40 seconds.
And so I'm thinking, well, what's up with that? He doesn't ask me anything. He doesn't tell me anything. He just gives it to me. So I'm like, hey, what do you want to do? You want to air this? Well, Kurt's gone because it's a break. So he's probably running around in his garden or something, right?
Yeah, that's right. Sleeping, taking a nap,
so,
something like that.
Then I say, well, what do you want to do with this thing? Kurt's like, oh, I don't know. I just gave it to you. I'm thinking, what does he want me to do? Listen to it? Well, so here's the question. Do I listen to that or do I work on more commercials? Because, see, everybody's emailing me going, Sam, your commercials are long in the tooth. You got too many commercials. They're old. You got to get new commercials. And my response is, okay, mm-hmm. How do I get new commercials? Number one, do I go find advertisers first? Would that make sense? Or do I just do commercials without advertisers, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Those are the best kind.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. They're complaining the ones that I got there now are just like public service announcements and, you know, they got to have something different. And so let's say that I get the advertisers in my spare time while mm-hmm. I'm ripping Kurt's MP3 for whatever reason. I'm not even sure. Then the next question becomes, all right, when I get the advertisers, do I got to write their ads or do I just like, you know, produce them?
Yeah.
Do I use my voice for every one of them? Or do I go get different voices? Because pretty soon somebody will say, every commercial's in your voice, Sam. We're sick of hearing you on the radio already. Okay, I get it. And then what happens is, you know, you go through this big, long thing. So I get the advertisers, I get the commercials, I get the voicers, I write the commercials, I produce the commercials. That's great. How am I going to do this in my time that I've got? Right? So I'm going to write Kurt back right now on the radio. And I'm going to say, President Trump meets with bipartisan members of the Senate. MP3 is in your Dropbox. Okay? Because I ripped it on the last break while I was sitting around doing nothing. Actually, while I was taking show notes.
While you were resting.
And I sent that to Kurt. So now Kurt's got that. And then I got these people emailing me going, hey, man, quit blowing me off. You're acting like I'm not important.
Yeah,
you know, to people.
Well,
I think a lot of people are important. I don't mean to ignore them at all. I do think some help would be great, you know, in terms of time and finances. Now, one of the guys that's saying that I'm blowing him off is trying to help.
Yes.
And I commend him for his efforts. However, here's the problem. His help requires my help.
Yeah, and
right?
Mine.
It's like the guy that says, Sam, I'll run the boards for you. Well, unless they get trained and get set up to do so, it's...
And live at your house.
I don't know how that's going to all happen, right? So that's kind of the problem. Well, James Edwards, the Political Cesspool Radio program, joined us yesterday because Kurt had to do some family things, which is perfect. And we talked about this monkey shirt. H&M, you know, the big clothes manufacturer. I guess they had a monkey shirt. Kurt, did you see this? They had a model.
No, I didn't see it, but I have sold raw honey by this.
And in this hoodie, you sold honey to H&M?
By the buildings, you know, right there close by.
What buildings?
You know, they had a farmer's market right by the H&M store, so that's as close as I've gotten to H&M.
Well, anyway, so the shirt said, I can't remember exactly what it was, the greatest monkey in the jungle or the smartest, no, the coolest monkey in the jungle. And they said it was all racist and everything else, and we were, you know, talking about this, and I was kind of thinking Kurt Crosby needs to make T-shirts with Donald on it, saying he's the coolest monkey in the jungle, in the coolest monkey in the swamp. So, Kurt, if you want to get on making those T-shirts while I work on the commercials and work on ripping
I'll
you that audio
that,
and running
yeah.
the board, all that, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, good point.
Now, by the way, the Florida Gulf Coast University, we talked about they're going to begin their white racism class, and they got cops there to make sure that nothing goes crazy. So we talked about that a lot on yesterday's broadcast. The reason that I bring that up is, again, the archives are there. If you believe our cause is worthy and that we're doing a good job, fund us. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. And my goal isn't to complain about all that I have to do. My goal is to give you a little bit of an understanding behind the scenes of what we're dealing with. I'm not intending to not get back to anybody, but I got day job things to get back to. And, you know, can I just ignore that? Pretty soon my boss will be like, hey, Sam, you seem to be too busy for my ideal here. You know, I can't be having that happening because then I wouldn't even have money to go to some of the events we go to.
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, I went to the Ammon Bundy event 2 years ago. We were there live, Sam and Kurt, and then the mainstream press lied and said I was part of the takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge.
Yep.
They literally wrote that lie. And you know what? How do I decide to get the time to go chase that down and force them to accountability and to tell the truth and to quit their lie, deceptive, fake news agenda?
Yep.
Well, if I had a new billionaire benefactor like Steve Bannon.
That's right.
I might be in good shape. Now, this guy's name is Miles Kwok. K-W-O-K.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kwok.
You know,
Kwok.
In the picture, it looks like he's a Chinese gentleman or a,
well,
you know,
it just proves Steve Bannon's not the racist they thought he was, huh, Kurt? I'd like that
well,
Chinese guy to help me, too. And by the way, that's Kurt's going to work on getting a hold of that guy while he's working on, you know, building the new T-shirts and
that's
all that kind
right.
of stuff. So I'm feeling good about that. And by the way, he's going to be getting a hold of Marcus Mumford while that's all happening, too.
I'm
Thanks,
working
Kurt.
On that, too.
Appreciate
yeah.
that.
You bet.
I knew that good things were happening.
All those
But there is somebody who's mind. Doing some good. It's kind of a Christmas story, but we've held on to it, and we want to bring it up because it is good news. Kurt?
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You just don't see many stories. This one comes from a big news source called the EastIdahoNews.com, and we don't mean to be joking about that, but, you know, it's not going to be what you'd call New York Times news. And the headline reads, after losing five children, Rexburg family donates van to local father battling ALS. Now, ALS is not one of those government entities like EPA or IRS or something like that. And in this case, ALS is a...
By the way, I'm editing Kurt's story down to get the headline for the notes while Kurt's talking, just so you know.
Yeah, see. Well, anyway, this guy, Ruth and Rick Clark, these are the families, one family here. They saw a story about Wyatt and Mindy Reese, and they knew they had to do something. Wyatt was a 33-year-old father of four children under seven. Pretty good batch there. He was diagnosed with ALS. I think that's that Lou Gehrig's disease. He's confined to a wheelchair and can no longer speak, eat, swallow, or move his muscles. That's pretty rough stuff. Mindy, his wife, has been caring for him full-time while the couple lives off their savings account and long-term disability. They say an anonymous Secret Santa heard about the Reese's situation and asked the EastIdahoNews.com team to surprise him with a $10,000 check. Wyatt has been unable to go to medical appointments or leave the home because the family does not have a wheelchair-accessible van. Now, the Clarks, who live in Rexburg, are all too familiar with similar health challenges. All five of their children were born with muscular dystrophy, and they've all died over the past 15 years. Their children live most of their lives in wheelchairs, so the Clarks now know what it's like to need reliable transportation. They said our last son, Russell, died in September. That's what Ruth Clark told the EastIdahoNews.com. We had listed the van for sale and somebody was supposed to come look at it, but I saw your story and something told me you know what to do with that van. Ruth showed her husband, Rick, the video clip, and without prompting him, he looked at her and said, "We need to give them that van." The Clarks had planned to use the proceeds from the van to buy Christmas gifts for their grandchildren, so they were a little worried the holiday would not be the same this year. We told the kids what we planned to do, and our oldest said, "Grandma, it's better to give. We don't need presents." Ruth contacted Mindy, and the Clarks dropped off the van at the young couple's home. They said, "I was just blown away. She gave me the title, and it said $0. She told me it's a gift and that it was meant for us. We just cried."
There you have it. Anyway, a great news story about people doing good things and feeling prompted to do so. And we want you to follow your promptings from the Almighty and to do the best you can with the guidance that you're given as well.
That's right.
Good point. I guess scientists, they use sperm to deliver chemo drugs to cervical cancer cells. Now, if I've ever seen a delivery method, there it is, Kate.
Now, you know, I mean, I just don't know how they come up with these deals, but, you know, I guess they're trying to get the chemo to the right place and... those little sperm somehow can head in to certain places, I guess.
You want to know how they can do all that, Kurt?
So, I don't know, Sam.
I'll explain it to you just so you understand. It's a miracle of God, sir.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, anyway, this is all
I'm telling you that man can't get that stuff done like the Almighty can. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, deliver chemo drugs to cervical cancer cells, so... Anyway, that's a new method of delivery.
And we're not going to get into the
unusual
to the details. We're just telling it's very strange. All right. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so let me tell you what I'm doing on the break really quick. I get an email from Kurt that says, hey, when do we want to go out to eat with this guy? So I got to work on that. Then the next email from a talk show host says, hey, Sam, I'm going to have a guest from Europe on my show. Hey, what's the VIP line again? Can't remember. And so I write back and say the VIP line's this. And by the way, if they want to connect with Skype, here's our Skype name. They could do either, no problem. And when I get done with that, then I'm looking at another email that says, hey, Sam, you know, we're trying to book this guest. And so the guy says, hey, that'd be great. What's the process? So now, see, I got to write back the process for this guy to get on the radio with us and stuff like that. And so I got to work on writing that. Meanwhile, I'm editing the notes for Kurt Crosby. Because Kurt sends me these massive long stories, and our notes would be so long, nobody would be able to read them, right? And so I edit this scientist's use sperm to deliver chemo drugs to cervical cancer cell story. Got that all done. We're going to leave out the intricate details of how all that happens. But anyway, while that's going on, the New York Times is in the news, Kurt. Kurt sent me a story. I got the headline, and it's a doozy, folks.
Well, yeah, the leader, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, of which Sam and I are both members.
By the way, the former leader.
Recently passed away, Thomas S. Monson. And, well, I guess the New York Times has what they call an obituary section. This is another reason I don't want to put money towards the New York Times. But anyway, apparently, in their so-called obituary, they wrote, Thomas S. Monson, who as president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints since 2008, enlarged the ranks of female missionaries, but rebuffed demands to ordain women as priests and refused to alter church opposition to same-sex marriage, died on Tuesday at his home in Salt Lake City. Now,
see, leave it to them. Instead of making a legitimate obituary that would be clean and, hey, what a wonderful leader, and setting down their quote, swords, if you will, they literally wade into this passing away of a prominent world leader with a very political, divisive agenda, right? That's the problem here.
Well, yeah, and what they don't understand, apparently, Sam, is that, you know, they think that just because he's the president that he can just make things happen the way ever, however he wants to. But the fact
is, in every other position in the world, that's pretty much true, Kurt. And they just don't understand the difference. Or they know the difference, they just don't believe or care about the difference, right?
Well, yeah. Okay, good point. But this man was originally ordained as what we call an apostle. And when he was about 36 years old, he died at the age of 90. Because he lived to be the senior apostle, then he was designated by God, we believe, to be the mouthpiece of God on the earth. Now, some say, well, that's a weird way of doing it. Well, you know, you look at the standard way that people get to the top of their food chain, I guess, or if you want to call it that. And, you know, this sure takes all that out of there, Sam. It makes it so that God's in charge of who he wants to put in there, whether he's a quite elderly gentleman or younger man or whatever, God can do it. And, you know, I guess they had 145,000 people kind of ticked off and signed a petition on change.org calling on the paper, that's the New York Times, to formally apologize for their biased reporting and present an honest, neutral, and balanced obituary. But I wouldn't expect that very much. Plus, what's amazing to me, I suppose the guys at the New York Times are wondering, man, how come those Mormons don't want to sign up and spend money with us? And I would just simply say, maybe this is part of it.
But it's not even just the Mormons, though, Kurt. A lot of people may say, you know what, I don't believe your leader's a prophet. I don't believe in that. I'm not a Mormon. But I do want fair, open coverage. This is a well-known world leader, whether it's the Pope or whether it's the Mormon church leader or whether it's some Baptist leader or whatever, Protestant or Presbyterian or, you know, some evangelical leader or whatever. In my mind, I'm asking for fair, open obituaries that are not politically charged. In any one of these cases, I'd just like to know the contributions that the Catholic leader or that whatever leader made to America and to society and to their flock, whatever, in a non-abusive way. In my mind, you would say something like, you know what, President Monson served his church faithfully for, you know, 60 years or whatever it is, you know, whatever, as an apostle of God, or 54 years as an apostle of God. Before that, he selflessly served his church as well. He was a missionary for the Mormons, and he truly lived according to the beliefs that he taught. He was true to his beliefs in public and private life. He was a great leader that was involved in scouting and da-da-da. I would like just to make it a non-politically charged, hey, this is the guy's life sketch, that he was a great guy, did a great job. And I'd like to see that no matter which leader it is. I'm not just necessarily defending the Mormon leader. Although I am defending him, I'm just saying there's a lot of people that aren't members of the Mormon church that would defend this leader too, saying, look, why make this politically charged? That's not what you do at someone's death. Now, Nelson Mandela, for example, died. This guy was a criminal of the highest order. Martin Luther King Jr. died. This guy was a criminal of the highest order. And we literally don't, you know, they don't attack those guys. They praise them as incredible leaders, see? So it just shows the political divisive agenda that the New York Times has. And that's why Donald Trump says they're one of the worst news services in the country. Boy, do I agree with that. The only problem I have with Donald is he goes to them routinely for news, to break news, to, you know, he's their partner. As he criticizes them, he slaps them on one side and he praises them on the other as they give him more and more and more coverage for ratings. I got a problem with all that. But to set it all aside, the point is, hey, I don't know if they'll be successful, but I agree with this point. The question is it best just to let it go and ignore it, or is it best to try to push for a change? I don't know.
Yeah, and this also explains, you know, the point that you made very often, Sam, about he who owns the media makes the rules. They say of the paper's choice to address the church leader as Mr. Monson, something many readers apparently took offense to. McDonald, that's one of the guys there at the paper, said it was a conscious decision made to adhere to writing policy while showing proper respect. It says, I noticed that the Deseret News in Utah used president on each reference to Mr. Monson, but that the Salt Lake Tribune, like almost every other American publication, dispensed with any honorific altogether. He said, quote, to my ear, Mr. Monson sounds far more respectful than just Monson. Yeah, I agree.
And I don't have a problem with Mr. Monson, but for example, are you going to call the Pope? What's the Pope's name, Kurt?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to say.
Well, you
Mr.
probably don't even know the Pope's name, do you, Kurt?
Right. Good point.
Now, I'm not downing you for not knowing. I'd have to look it up, too. I'm making a point here. The point is, they refer to that as the title
His
so often, you don't know the person's name. Okay, so when they say President Monson, he's President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they might, you know, refer to somebody else as the CEO so-and-so of whatever, Bain Capital, you know.
Yeah, or like Hillary Secretary
of State.
Clinton, you
or
know,
Secretary Clinton
right. Okay. went over and over.
So the point isn't that we think that they have to endorse him as president, except for to acknowledge his title in a meaningful way. If you just say Mr. Monson, most folks don't know who that is. If you say President Monson, a lot of even non-Mormons know, oh, he's the president of the Mormon Church. It doesn't necessarily elicit an endorsement of any kind. It's a sign of respect, and I wouldn't go berserk over calling him Mr. Monson, but the point is well taken. All right, asked about retiring, they have a simple answer, Kurt. Maybe these guys can help us in their spare time, huh? What's their answer?
Well, I just thought it was interesting. You know, we're told typically that, hey, somebody hits 60 or, I don't know, if it's 65 or whatever the age is, that you're just supposed to, you know, basically check out of society and play shuffleboard and head around, you know, or whatever. But a lot of people feel like they're not doing that.
Yeah, in fact, they're wondering, Dreyfus, why would we retire, huh?
Well, number one, they feel like, hey, they kind of enjoy what they're doing.
By the way, President Thomas S. Monson, Kurt, he did retire finally.
At 90 years old.
Well, when the Lord took him home, he didn't really retire at 90, Kurt.
That's right.
He just kept right on working with his boots on for what he believed in.
That's right.
By the way, his funeral's this Friday. A lot of people are watching it, Mormon and non-Mormon alike, and it's going to be a wonderful event. And right after that, they say will be the peaceful transfer of power, as you suggest, to the next senior apostle, which will be, should I say Mr. Nelson? Or would you say President Nelson there, Kurt?
Yeah, well, he's the president of what's called the Quorum of the Twelve. And that's what I'd call him.
Yeah, it'd be President
Nelson.
He's only
93. And,
that's right.
So, you know, that's what the...
Anyway, I bring that up, though. This is interesting, though. People are starting to think about retirement and say, why? I don't plan to retire either.
Well, why? You know, I mean, do what you like. I heard one guy, he was a very wealthy gentleman. They asked him...
Well, if you know that guy, maybe he should fund us, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. They asked him, well, why do you keep doing this? He said, well, what would I do if I retired? Would I just sit around and eat nice food and hang around with my friends? He said, well, I do that now for work.
Ding, ding, ding. There you go.
Anyway, there you go. Yeah.
All right. I guess, well, maybe this is what we should do if we're in a cash crunch, Kurt.
Yeah.
Right? There's some folks in a cash crunch. What, they're down there in Venezuela, Kurt?
Well, that's right. The headline reads, poor Venezuelans launch local currency amid cash crunch. We've talked about this before, but, you know, you got like Ithaca hours and different things. And I guess the folks down in Venezuela, you know, are just trying to make some way to, deal between each other. And so they've launched some local currency down there, Sam.
Yeah, so if you're in a cash crunch, maybe you just, you know, create your own currency. Guess who else is doing that, Kurt?
Well, I saw one story. It was like Norway or something, but who else?
Kodak.
Huh, cool.
Yeah,
I didn't know
Kodak to create cryptocurrency.
Oh.
Did you see this?
No, but that's one more of them, huh?
Yeah. So maybe we just need Liberty Roundtable currency, Kurt. Maybe that'll help us with the cash crunch.
There you go.
Right?
Print your own money. It's one way that the insider bankers have made lots of money that way.
All right, quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wait a minute. We don't have a quick pause. We're just flat out of time. That's really going on. What the heck am I thinking? All right, I'm trying to look up the cryptocurrency and take notes and do all these things at the same time. That's what's going on. Well, thanks for being alongside with the ride. If you find our efforts worthy, fund us. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.